be blessed to spend his life with a woman such as you. I fell in love with you the moment I met you. I could easily see our future together. Keeping the house, planting a garden, raising a family together. But how to explain this pregnancy? How to face our neighbors and family? It would break my heart to have you shamed. I don't know. I just don't know what to do. Mary, how? Why? I will do the honorable thing for you, Mary. We shall revoke this engagement to allow you to save face. I fear for us, and my heart is heavy, as you surely feel hurt. But we must dissolve our engagement privately and quietly. This will at least save you from the public humiliation, and you will be able to go on with your life. What else can we do? I don't know how you would feel, Mary, but this must be the way to handle this difficult situation.
Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
Our scripture for today is from Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7. You've heard part of it in our call to worship. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in a pitch dark land, light has dawned. You have made the nation great. You have increased its joy. They rejoiced before you, as with joy at the harvest, as those who divide plunder rejoice. As on the day of Midian, you've shattered the yoke that burdened them, the staff on their shoulders, and the rod of their oppressor.
Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Mary, for God has decided to bless you. You will become pregnant and have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be very great and be called the Son of God the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end.
Because every boot of the thundering warriors and every garment rolled in blood will be burned, fuel for the fire. A child is born to us. A son is given us.
For a child is born to us. A son is given to us. Government will rest on his shoulders. These will be his royal titles. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
There will be vast authority and endless peace for David's throne and for his kingdom, establishing it and sustaining it with justice and righteousness, now and forever.
And that is how a prophecy left the pages of Scripture and entered into human life. Both Joseph and Mary are show and tell examples of how to listen to prophecy and hope, our theme for today. So what was the first thing they each had to do? Come to terms with their fears. Some quicker than others. So what was Joseph afraid of? What people would think.
Shame.
Who was he afraid for? For Mary. And probably also himself, yeah. Of course. And what about Mary? What was she afraid of? Seeing angels? What was she afraid of?
The Mosaic law said that if a woman pregnant out of wedlock should be taken outside the precincts of the city and stoned to death.
Absolutely. That's a lot to fear. What else would she be afraid of? I'm sure she was just thrilled to tell Joseph. The unknown. Let alone how I'm going to explain this. She's very young. Did she get the word that Joseph was going to have a dream? We're not told that. Neither of them know that at that point that the other has been told. Fear of what will come. I believe we choose to walk in fear, or as Scripture calls it, darkness. A commentator agreed with me. He said, "We have seen a great light in the person of Christ, but we choose to walk in darkness." I'm not saying it's easy to hang on to the light in every circumstance, certainly. But we do have a choice once we have seen the light, and we have. So if the scenes from our Brethren Playhouse actors performed had been a Disney movie, Joseph would have almost followed the advice until someone talked him out of it, at least until the end of the movie. And Mary would have allowed her fear to rule the day and run away from Gabriel long before he could finish his message. And in the Disney movie world, only some coincidence would bring them back together to the path of angelic prophecy sometime shortly before the end of the movie. But we have to admit that even by Disney standards, the encounters they had with God's messengers by dream and by angel were really strange. We have to ask ourselves, are we more likely to live like a Disney character, missing the prophecy of hope, or like Mary and Joseph, trusting God? In spite of their fears, their answer was like Samuel's, "Here I am, Lord, your servant is listening." Or as Mary said in the classic words, "Let it be with me according to your will." The question for today is, how did they do it? Have you wondered what your answer would be? Seeing the two of them up there today, any other time you've read that story, surely you've put yourself in those shoes and wondered how you would answer a dream message or an angelic visitor? Certainly they knew the prophecy better than I do. They heard it more than once a year. They even knew the history of their people from where the message came in Isaiah. It was a time when the northern and the southern kingdoms were in disagreement. The nation of Assyria was strong and taking over the area, and the kings of Israel, the northern kingdom, and of Aram, another world, formed a coalition to fight against the Assyrians. And first they asked, and then they demanded, that the southern kingdom of Judah join with them. And King Ahaz refuses, and Israel and Aram declare war on Judah and move to attack the city of Jerusalem. And God sends Isaiah. Those words that we heard. God sends Isaiah to speak to King Ahaz and tell him not to join either coalition or the Assyrians, but to ask for a sign of assurance. He refuses that too. I think he was frozen in place. But Isaiah says God has sent a sign anyway. And Isaiah points to a woman sitting in the room and says, before the baby she is carrying knows good from evil, the threat of the coalition will have passed. It's an ordinary sign. It's a perspective check, one that we often need when we are in crisis. We need someone to remind us it won't be like this forever. In less than a year, in the length of a pregnancy, what you fear now will be gone. How often we fear that which will pass away. I have wasted days, weeks, worrying about how to live with something, only to have life change so quickly that I'm faced with a different problem altogether. But back to our center question, and it's your turn to answer. How do we reach beyond the fear before our eyes and hang on to the hope that God has promised, especially when it might take longer than a year to arrive? How do you hang on to hope? I'm looking for wisdom here.
In all honesty, I'm not going to lie, a lot of crying and a lot of praying.
A lot of crying and a lot of praying. I see nods. Any other words of wisdom? Yeah.
I know I should read my Bible.
No, read the Bible at times when we remember to turn that way. Learning to let go and trust God.
Years ago, when I was a Methodist church, I had control of the signboard out in front of the church. I put up what I called signboard sermonettes. And the one I remember was sharing here. You believe in God, but do you believe God?
Thank you. The suggestions I have are three, and they come from the stories of Scripture and our key characters today of Mary and Joseph. And one of the things we do is look at that perspective of time, which I so often fail to do. Because just like Isaiah said, life does pass quickly. In less than a year, things can change drastically. So first, when you're faced with a fear, ask yourself, is the fear that consumes me today likely to last? Try to take the long view and recall some previous time when your worry that so consumed you was gone so quickly. And then, next, listen to God's promise. If we're going to trust in God to provide our next breath, and our next breath, and our next breath until life is gone, then we do well to hang on to God's promises, and they begin with the words of Scripture. Fear not, for I am with you. three times in the Luke story that sets up this wonderful birth, people are told to fear not, with a direct message from God. Do not fear. What more could we ask than to hear their direct messages from God? What more could we ask? I used to always want a neon sign. Now sometimes I'm thinking, maybe I got a couple of those and just drove right past. But when we get that, we can claim the hope for our lives. And that's what we need to do. So Zechariah, you remember him, John the Baptist's father, he was told, fear not. His prayers for a child had been answered. But even though he had a direct visit from a messenger, his doubts kind of got the best of him, enough to cause the angel to take his speech away, at least until the baby John was born and he got with the prophecy. He would have fit well in a Disney movie. But if we can learn from his story, because even though he doubted and suffered some consequences, the promise came true. And then he played his part in the great drama of Christmas. And then Mary, the young innocent, is told to fear not. God is honoring you. And she somehow has the strength and the faith to believe. And the outrageous mission that she was given to bear a child. And then the shepherds were approached on a hillside and told, do not be afraid. Here's wonderful and joyous news for all people. What would you say? Some would certainly claim that that was fake news, but they followed that news story and went to see for themselves. Think for a moment of the fear you named earlier. Now, which of God's promises do you need to claim? How about a sampling? Is it Jesus' promise at the end of Matthew? Look, I myself will be with you every day till the end of this present age. Or is it Jesus' promise in Mark's gospel about the fruit of your labor for him? The seeds scattered on good soil are those who hear the word and embrace it. They bear fruit, in one case a yield of 30 to 1, in another case 60 to 1, and in another 100 to 1. Or maybe from Luke's gospel, the Sermon on the Plain, where Jesus promised, blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Or is it the promise in John's gospel that there's more to this life than just your numbered days? Do not be troubled, he said. Trust in God. Trust also in me. My Father's house has room to spare. If that weren't the case, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And when I go to prepare a place for you, I will return and take you to be with me, so that where I am, you will be also. The promises that give us hope just keep coming when we read Scripture. Again, from John, I have spoken these things while I am with you. The companion, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you. Or maybe the promise we all need to claim is peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I give you not as the world gives. Don't be troubled or afraid. Will you make your Advent habit this year one of hope and claim one of these promises for your month of devotion? Mary and Joseph really were ordinary people. Just like you. They turned away from their fear They listened to God's promise, and they embraced hope. May God give us all the faith to do the same. God bless us all with the strengthening of our faith this Advent as we wait expectantly and claim God's hope and promise. Amen.